You are listening to episode 130 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. This is Virtually Reality.
We were just talking about, a new story.
The Oculus Rift. And yeah, exactly. So am I up first? Let's do this.
Yeah, go for it. I think you're
okay.
Your purple ones are all that's left, actually, because I cheated and got my purple one in early.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Listening are like, what is he talking about? We color code our stories, okay? Come on.
Yeah. We've got the really interesting ones, we've got the semi-interesting ones, and then we've got the ones that might be interesting if we have enough time, and in no particular order. That's not true. So did you hear about the new pricing scheme that that Google has dropped on us for their Google Drive prices?
I heard that they dropped them.
They are crazy.
So are you getting in on that now? Are you going to store everything on Google Drive?
I don't know of everything, but it's pretty compelling. So obviously they got the free version still, 15 gigabytes. Pretty compelling. They got 100 gigabytes for $1.99 per month. Okay, that's not bad.
$2,
they got
right?
one. Yeah, they got 1 terabyte for $10 a month, which is not bad at all for a whole friggin' terabyte. And then they got 10 terabytes plus, starting at $99. So that's your enterprise scale storage. And so this compares to, like, Dropbox wants $9.99 per month for 100 gigs. SugarSync has a $55 per month for 1 terabyte of data. So these are pretty good prices compared to the competition. But here's the real thing, and this is why everybody was kind of like, this is a big deal. Because the reality of it is, maybe even more importantly, Google's new prices are significantly undercut those of its own cloud storage platforms for developers.
Hmm.
That's right. If you want, as well as those of Amazon's S3 and Microsoft's Azure storage platforms. That's where most cloud storage startups host their files. Dropbox uses S3, for example.
Right.
Those startups that are big enough to probably get some discounts for storing extremely large amounts of data on these platforms. But even then, Google prices for consumers is lower than what developers can get on these platforms. So basically what they're saying is, if you want to build your own, competitive storage system, that's fine. We don't mind. It's going to cost you more per bit than just going through, the consumer grade stuff. This is Google throwing down the gauntlet, saying we want to be the solution to cloud storage. Use Google Drive. So you ask, am I going to be using Google Drive? If I care at all about price for storing large files, yeah, I think so.
So the question is, can you host and stream audio files?
I have no idea.
Say you have a podcast that each week produces a gig or so worth of audio. And you have a hard drive with a finite amount of space on it. Let's just, I'm just going to throw out a theoretical idea. Could you do that?
And then embed
said podcast into a blog of sorts.
I don't know. I don't know.
That's one of the nice parts about Amazon stuff, right? Is you can do that,
right? Well, and Dropbox has certain solutions for that as well. I don't know. I would think not. I would think not, to be honest. But maybe. I mean, Google can get crazy about this sort of stuff. This is the one thing I can guarantee. If they offer it this year, they probably won't next year.
Yeah, really.
That's always
Google.
My biggest. Yeah. That's the most terrifying part about using them is that, Dropbox, there seems to be some sort of a expected consistency just because that's what they do. Google, obviously they want this to be big, but if it's not, they'll just get rid of it. So if you're the first one to migrate and you're the only one to migrate, oh baby, you might be left out in the cold. It's funny. I mean, as expensive as Apple stuff is, and it's, you don't get very much space at all, and it's really expensive, but I always get the feeling that at least there's going to be a solution. And if this one, if they change from iCloud and they don't do iCloud, backup storage, whatnot, they'll migrate it to something else. And you're not just going to all of a sudden one day find out that we're completely getting rid of this, you know, product line. And that's compelling. You know, the only thing that I don't like about it is that it's they make it really hard to do a simultaneous local backup and an iCloud backup, which is just a, you know, whatever, jerks. I'm complaining already, but you know that's something that they'll work out as time goes on. I think that it's compelling if you want to store large numbers of files. Oh man, and you know, and obviously that comes with all sorts of cool pages, or you know.
I'm serious. I mean, I like, you know, maybe it's one of those things because I back up all of our podcasts. Maybe it's not for streaming per se.
Yeah,
but that's where I could have them all backed up instead of sitting on. We've been doing the show 130-ish times.
Yeah,
that's at some data. Point.
It's true. It's funny, I didn't even think about it. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, that'd be a tenth of my hard drive. And I've got a big hard drive. You know, at some point, that becomes prohibitively. Thank you. Expensive. Jeez Louise.
Well, looked at a couple different cloud storage options, and all of them I was just like, nah, we're not big enough, or not big enough, we don't produce enough to justify that level, you know. But it's like, you know, the $2 range, that's actually,
yeah, that's compelling to me. I mean, that's, you know, 100 gigs for anywhere, anytime. Except I just don't have enough. What do I store? Who am I joking? I don't store anything that requires that kind of data stuff. Or I should say anywhere where I've needed it, there's already a solution. Like if we were to use that sort of thing at work, well, we've already got local, you know, local server stuff that we used, and we got terabytes upon terabytes. And anything I'm not doing any video editing. I'm not doing any hardcore audio editing. I know the biggest stuff I do are picture and photo editing and stuff, and those are relatively small, and you can store them all over the place. And everybody wants you to use their service to store photos, so they make it free. I don't know, kind of doesn't seem like that big of a deal to me, but it's cool. I want it just because it's cool. I get totally caught up in the storage wars. Like, you know, technology. I regularly see like 128 gigabyte hard drive or jump drive, and for like $30, like, oh, I'm totally gonna buy that. And then I'm like, what would I put on it? I've got a 64 gig stick that I like have 10 gigs used on, and like never use it because I have no reason to use it. Why would I spend that money? I have to talk myself out of it. I just like it because it's cool, big storage stuff. This is the video gamer in me who used to, like, you know, never have enough space for all the video games I wanted. Mm-hmm. Back before I had before I could afford iCloud movies, which BTW, Amazing Spider-Man on iTunes, $9.99 right now.
Oh, I already have it.
Okay, then don't do that. You got the Amazing Spider-Man, not just Spider-Man.
It's the amazing one. I almost got Back to the Future last week because you get all three of them for $20.
Me too. I almost did as well.
And then I was on a trilogy, like, oh, let's check this out. Because then I looked at what is it, Lord of the Rings trilogy extended edition. I was like,
super expensive.
I know, that was a little out of my price range, but.
My problem that I keep running into is very simple. I keep wanting to buy these movies, and then I remember I've got nowhere to store them. Like, I store TV seasons on my iPhone, and like,
yeah,
I just
got that's what that's what the cloud is for.
I know, that's what's so awesome about it. But the only place I could really watch these things is if I'm streaming them, and the only place where I can, like, I've got fast enough internet on a regular basis is at home, where I can watch them on DVD. So at this point, it doesn't make sense for me to start buying them. I think eventually you buy them and you put them into the cloud. But this actually segues really nicely to another story. So rumor has it, and I find this completely compelling, that Apple is in early negotiations with a tremendous number of content deliverers, because they would have to be, from record labels to movie studios, because they really want to bring iTunes to Android.
Whoa, that was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one of those things where I've kind of wondered why they haven't. Obviously, they've got iTunes for the PC, and it's made them one of the, you know, the biggest content delivery platforms in the world.
Yeah.
And Android's taken off pretty well, I guess. So, you know, do you really want to cut out that business to, you know, only people that can buy, iPhones?
That's a slippery slope.
It is. It's tough. It's tough. It's a tough decision. And
it's like Microsoft making the choice to bring Office over to iPad.
Right, which, you know, at this point, everybody kind of agrees is too little too late. I mean, it's tough. It's huge, because you're validating.
Well, it's like with Microsoft, they took a bet. Okay, we think this will sell Surfaces. And it didn't. So you go, okay, we lost that bet. I guess we'll take the consolation prize of making it available everywhere for a monthly subscription. Ugh. So that's what they did. Whereas Apple, I would argue, is not in the, well, we tried iTunes only on iPhone and it didn't work. I think it works just fine. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're not hurting. And so what do they have to gain from going over to Android?
Oh, what is it, like 100 million? No, 700 million?
Yeah, but the risk is all the sales of people who were on the bubble and, you know, who are tied in because of iTunes. And they go, oh, cool, now I can go over to Android. You yourself were thinking that. I know.
I actually, it's funny, I couldn't remember what the other determining factor was, but there was two things that happened this week that I sat there and went, if this happens, it could push me super easily over into the Android world. And one of them was the iWatch. The iWatch is just lame compared to the Android Wear. Then that's a big one. But the other one is, if I got iTunes onto Android and it made migrating all of my music and videos over to Android non-existent, because I just open up the app on Android.
Yeah.
I'd have a really hard time not buying, you know, because at this point it's like, and I'd say it's the tablet realm that is most, you know, dangerous for me, because it's like, you know, I think iPad's clearly the best solution, but you know, from a performance perspective, there are very few that perform as well.
You don't need to hedge yourself. It is the best.
Well, thank you. But I appreciate that. I want people to know that sometimes I act like an Apple fanboy, but at least I am not blindly that. The reality of it is, you know, if I'm going to goof around with something and I want to try something else out, but I want my content to come with me, you know, like a $230, you know, Nexus 7, it's kind of compelling. And if my music comes seamlessly on it and videos and everything, because that's the big thing, is it's, you know, all your videos and all your movies, they move with you.
Yeah.
Oh, that becomes very cool. It's the reason why I've bought everything through Amazon for my digital books, because it's platform independent. And it's a solution that's worked out pretty well for Amazon, as they're going to be moving down to the Bay Area pretty soon here.
Are they that company that's building the big...
I'm sure of it. I don't know if anybody's not heard of it. It's just sort of inside the beltway drama of Silicon Valley, but there's somebody's building a 10,000-person office in downtown San Jose, and nobody knows who it is except for the mayor of San Jose.
How's that even possible?
I know. They're pulling a total Disney right now. When Disney bought all the land for Disney World under a bunch of subsidiary companies so nobody could extort them into ridiculous prices.
Yep.
Somebody with really, really deep pockets knew that they'd get extorted if they were to, you know, to, if anybody knew it was who they were. And it's not Facebook, because they're very open about their new campus that they're building right next door. It's not Apple. They've been very open about their, you know, big satellite spaceship thing. It could be Google, because they don't have any conversations about their stuff right now, but they're building campuses all over the world, and they're doing a lot of expansion, just not in the Bay Area. It doesn't necessarily make sense for them to be in the Bay Area. It's somebody who wants... To me, it seems obvious that it's somebody who wants a presence here so that they can get the devs. It's obviously a huge campus, so it's somebody who's got a lot of fingers and a lot of technology.
Samsung
and Lenovo are compelling arguments, but they got to be Fortune 500 companies. We know that's one of the hints.
HP.
Could be HP, except HP is constricting, not expanding.
We've been constricting so we can expand.
Well, that makes sense, but are you going to sell one campus to Apple just to open up another one, like, literally 5 minutes down the street?
We extorted Apple so that we could,
could afford
do
it.
Do our shell companies exactly. To get the cheap one.
So I keep going, who has...
Amazon, that doesn't make any sense. Bezos likes Seattle.
I'm not saying he doesn't like Seattle. I'm saying they need the developers, and I think that there's a lot of game developers up in Seattle, up in Washington. Obviously, Microsoft's doing their thing. I think the only reason I don't think it's either Microsoft or the only reason it's not Microsoft is because they're going through so much right now. That just would be such a huge move. It'd be craziness. But, there's Samsung is opening – that's the other thing. Samsung's already talked about where they're opening up their campus in San Jose because they want to be able to compete for the devs that are building, apps. And you sit there and go, what has Amazon got their fingers in? They need web developers. And they need hardware developers because they're selling tablets. They want to sell phones. They want to get into, they want to build all these different pieces of hardware. They also are building apps and all sorts of different stuff for that different part of their empire. They've got the massive infrastructure of their distribution centers and all the robotics and high level of technology that goes into that. I don't know. It just makes sense for – it's a company that, that wants that talent. They want an option to be down there. They don't really have a presence in the Silicon Valley at all. Outside of it could be one of the major telecoms, but
I'm going with Ford.
You think Ford? What?
Alan Mulally, he's got a plan. I like that guy.
Yeah, okay. They are pretty forward thinking, but are they gonna put 1,500 miles between them and all their factories?
I think so.
Okay. You know who I thought could be? This is wishful thinking. I know it is, but I'm still going to wish it. Tesla.
I want, but they're not Fortune 500, are they?
You're right. They're not. It's got to be Amazon. I'm putting my money on Amazon.
Coca-Cola.
It's a tech company. They said it's a Silicon Valley company. That's the other thing that's really weird is that they said it because Amazon has a small presence down here.
If they're not a Silicon Valley company.
I know. That's the only thing that's not like. Except I think they're trying to be.
Maybe it's Dropbox.
Purposefully misleading. Yeah, exactly. They're trying to purposefully be misleading because they don't want anybody to be able to guess, which means it might not be a. It might be lying about all of it.
Wait, have they bought all the land yet?
Yeah, they're building the building. They've broken ground.
I feel like at this point you might as well just tell everybody. I don't know why I'd be surprised.
I think at this point it's just exciting. Whoever's doing it is having fun, which more compelling than somebody with deep pockets because they're growing. They're in a good times. Obviously,
Foursquare.
No, they're growing.
Oh yeah, that's
what I'm I don't know. It's interesting. It's not going to be Amazon. It's going to be somebody else, and we're just going to be like, how did we forget about them? Like, what the heck?
Where's the? Let me see here. Hold up. All right. Fortune 500 list. I feel like that should result in some answers.
So okay, it's not Walmart, Exxon. What? It's not Chevron, Phillips, Berkshire Hathaway. Probably not. Not Apple, General Motors, Valero, Ford, AT&T, CVS, Hughes Packard. Nope. Could be Verizon. Could be one of the telecoms, but I doubt it. JP Mo, probably not because they're not a tech
Costco?
company. Could be Costco. They also love Washington. I don't think they'll move. They're named after the city of – they started in the city of Kirkland, Washington. Kroger? Definitely Kroger.
Caterpillar.
Oh, yeah. Caterpillar would be cool.
Oh, Comcast. Those guys are a monopoly.
It could be Comcast. That would be so unexciting.
Oh, here. We could do... You said it was in the tech industry? We can filter.
Yeah. Can we?
Tech...
How I love technology.
I can do telecommunications.
Not as much as you, you see.
What would you call it?
Still, I love technology.
I would call it...
Scientific photography.
Computer software?
Computer peripherals? Computer office equipment? Apple,
Microsoft, Oracle, Symantec, CA.
Who's NCR? I have no idea who this is.
Computer peripherals.
In Georgia.
All right. Well, what is Apple?
They are.
It's confusing. We don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Could be Oracle. They could be expanding.
Yeah. Larry's crazy.
Yeah.
All right. That was fun.
Yeah. Back to the actual articles that we have linked. Speaking of Seattle, I've been totally peeved off about what's it called, that one state with the
New Jersey. Batman.
New Jersey, thank you. Where they're making it illegal to sell Tesla companies. Dude, have you heard any of the interviews with the actual industry guys, the car owner guys? They come across as total New Jersey gangsters. They don't understand how business is done around here.
Brilliant.
You come in here and you can just change things up like that. That's not how it is. You're like, oh my goodness. Like, wow. Come on. Yeah. Try to be a little less stereotypical, please.
That's funny. I just love reading Elon Musk's rebuttals on his blog. Oh my gosh. That guy is awesome.
He's sharp as a tack, dude. Oh my goodness. But Seattle's doing this in their own special way. The taxi companies were not big fans of what Lyft and Uber were doing, disrupting their business model. Well, it's really interesting. And so, I'll finish my thought before I say what's really interesting. Basically, what they've said is that Uber and Lyft, they need to be regulated and they need to get their acts together. And so each will be limited to 150 vehicles in their fleet per platform in Seattle. And the argument is that it's kind of a safety thing and it prevents people from, losing their jobs. And the politicians in Seattle are trying to make the argument that a lot of the taxi cabs are owned by immigrants that have come in and have pulled their money together, and they spent all their money on these taxi cabs. Whereas Lyft and Uber are being funded by giant venture capitalists from the Bay Area. And they're like, just as ridiculous, arguments where you're like, oh, yeah, but what about all the 1,000 individual drivers that are just trying to, make their monthly nut driving people around because they got a car in time on a Saturday evening. That economic argument makes any sense. But really and truly what it comes down to is once again, we're just an entire industry is buying off politicians. And Seattle is such a tech forward company or city that they can't quite justify completely banning the platform. So they're going to limit it to the point where it can't make disruption. And it's funny, last weekend was St. Patty's Day weekend, and I spent a little bit of the time in San Francisco City in the evening, and one of our cousins was out with us, and very late at night, the bars are closing, everybody's going on the street, and he walked out on the street and he whistled because he's been practicing his whistle, and a taxi came up and got him. And the next day we were talking about it, and he was just astounded. He's like, I couldn't believe it, bars are closing and I got a taxi right away. That's never happened. And he goes, it's all because of the whistle. And it took me a couple of days to think through it and realize it's not because of the whistle. Although your whistle is becoming impressive to me. It's because of Lyft and Uber. They've increased supply so much that taxis are able to keep up with that. What's left of the demand. There's a supply demand imbalance for sure, and it's going to be bad news for the taxis. And Uber and Lyft are taking advantage of that supply demand curve because they're lowering rates when there's, happy hour rates is what they're calling them for when there's too much supply, and they're raising rates, on Saturdays and Fridays nights when the demand's higher. And they're doing that all automatically, and they're doing it at such a, programmatically so that they make the maximum profit possible. And it's just crushing the taxi industry in San Francisco and LA, where these platforms are really taking off. And it's interesting seeing Seattle, if you can't compete, legislate, as they say. And so the taxi cab companies in Seattle, they're worried. So Uber, which used to be Uber Cab, is now just Uber because the taxi companies are buying off politicians, trying to get them to change their stuff, trying to convince everybody that they're super unsafe. And every time something comes up, yeah, it was a little bit of a wild west there for a little bit. And I'll be honest, the pressure that Uber and Lyft got to figure out how they're going to deal with, insuring these cars and doing it in a financially viable way, like, that needed to happen because you can't be, you can't be killing people with uninsured drivers. That's craziness. If you're going to kill somebody, at least be insured. And now they're doing background checks on making sure that there's no criminals and stuff. Like, it's definitely matured the platform and in a big time hurry, but it's still majorly disrupting it. And it's, if you spend any time in these cities, even if it's just occasionally once once a month, you're there on an evening, over the last 2 years, you can tell the dramatic shift that's already happened. And the ease of use of it. Like, the first time I used it was just a couple of weeks ago. Compared to like calling a cab, waiting for the cab to show up, paying with your credit card in the cab and stuff, like, it just sort of magically happened. If you're not the one like actively on your app, like, everything was paid for. We got in the cab, or we got in the Uber car, and like, we showed up at the venue. It was already paid for. Got out of the thing. I was like, that was weird and awesome. I don't know. It's compelling, man. It's definitely majorly disrupting, the taxi cabs. They're having a hard time keeping up with the change of, the pace of change and stuff. But it's exciting. I'm still up, aren't I?
You got the rest of them.
Okay. So Hewlett-Packard, what's your guess, James? If you had to guess, what is the I'll pay off this HP one. What's the cool HP thing that HP is doing?
I don't have to guess, because I already know.
Oh, yeah? Did you know before you read the article?
I did.
Okay, tell us about it.
Well, all I know is what's public, so that's good.
Perfect.
I learned about it, I don't know, about a year ago.
Oh, nice.
I know. I can keep secrets. So
it drives me crazy.
HP wants to get into the 3D printing game, and so they've been developing some 3D printers. The problem right with today's 3D printers is a couple things, which HP has come out and said they're trying to solve, and they believe that they have, and I don't know, to be honest. I haven't seen one. But essentially, first, they're very, very slow.
Yes.
I think the words that Meg Whitman used was, it's like watching ice melt. And so they're pretty slow. And then they're just not very, I think she said durable, was it? Or just the surface themselves are not very good or something.
They're rough hewn. They're not, I mean, they're
yeah, not. What is, that means that they're just like, they're not.
Yeah,
finished.
They're not very beautiful. They need to be worked, usually sanded, if you want a smooth finish. And they're not very durable, just in general. I mean, they usually, most of the plastics that you need to put special additives and coats on them in order to make them harder, or you need to make molds out of them and then mold them out of an actual material. At that point, they're not finished products. They don't print products.
So HP's hope is to solve those two big issues.
That's awesome.
And it sounds like they're going to be announcing it, what did they say, June? Or not, I mean, they clearly announced it, but they're going to be showing off the prototypes in, was it June, July, summertime?
June, related to 3D printing space, a move that could place 3D printers in the hands of casual home and industrial users.
Well, they said they're going to start out in the commercial space, so we'll see.
That's
cool. Kind of goes with everything else HP's doing. Everything's commercial related, so.
Yeah. See, this is the kind of printing that I can get behind.
Ha, there you go.
So keep up the good work, HP. I'm excited. I'm very excited to see what happens here. Obviously, I don't normally print. I don't normally talk about non-Apple related rumors.
It's 3D printing. That's pretty cool.
I know, it's awesome. I mean, once again, you know, the more companies that get into any one of these spaces, the more, you know, becomes a compelling platform for developers to get into and different technologies to be built up, and, you know, just gets better and better and better. So I got two more articles that I want to talk about.
Okay.
Super fast Tango, Project Tango. Obviously, I am stoked on this thing, but it's the Google's 3D scanning thing I keep talking about.
The camera one, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, it turns out NASA's got these, like, droids that they, like, got up in space, up in the space station that use,
of course,
like,
they do.
Yeah, I know. They use the compressed CO2 to navigate, and they have, like, Galaxy S2 phones that are the brains of these, like, little robot things that are tooling around the space station, and they're sending up some new of these orbs, I guess. But they're gonna put two Tango phones in them, and they're hoping that they're like better at navigating, because you'll be able to spatial record. Yeah, they'll see inside of it. And, like, the really cool part about it will be like when the astronauts go on their spacewalks, these little guys will be able to come out in space with them.
Whoa.
And, yeah, I know. Which is just like, oh, that's super cool. That's like full on sci-fi, and they're like, yeah, we know, it's awesome. And
that's what I like about NASA. They're all a bunch of geeks.
I know. And they've got a little bit of money, and
I love one of the commenters, all caps, "This is the future."
Yeah, exactly. Oh man.
Period.
It's great. Oh man.
That's awesome, man.
I know. I'm super stoked on it.
We gotta get photos of that.
I know, right? I was just like, it's funny. I mean, like, first off, I didn't know that there were, like, little floating droids in the space station. That alone is really exciting. But, like, the fact that they're becoming, like, spatially aware and they're just using, like, phone software, oh, it's so great.
Man,
I mean, like, you know, I know. You know, they, like, legendarily, the space shuttles had the processing power of, you know, modern day laptops.
Yeah.
Exactly. And NASA's are the kings of programming on a budget. So, you know, being able to do unbelievable tasks computationally with very little processing power. So this is like right up their alley. You know, give us a phone, give us some cool algorithms, and we'll make a little flying droid out of it. Man, I want to go to space so bad.
Going to be using a fire extinguisher to get around.
I know. Exactly. But the last story I want to talk about really quickly, and this is only kind of, this is weirdly tech related. But microwaves aren't selling well. They hit their peak. They've been doing microwave sales, like most utensils, had been growing year over year sales for pretty linearly since their invention.
When were they invented? A while ago.
A while ago. For 40 years, so like I read this article like 2 years ago.
1945 by Piercy Spencer.
Yeah, an engineer at Raytheon. And so basically they've been selling well, better and better and better until 2004, until guess what? The economy started to take a little bit of a dump, and then you started to see a dramatic decline in sales. And the sales haven't really bounced back yet, and they're not growing. What's really fascinating about this, because the first response is just due to the timing of the whole thing, that it might have been related to the economic crash, that you're people stopped buying cell phone, buying microwaves because they stopped buying all sorts of stuff. Which,
of course.
Yes, that is there's probably some...
If you're not buying homes, you're not buying microwaves. I get it.
Exactly. Except everybody keeps buying refrigerators and ovens and all your other utensils. And most importantly, there has been a skyrocket in sales of toaster ovens.
My toaster oven, I love it. And it does replace a lot of our microwaving.
Exactly. And basically what they're saying is... And
weird.
That's yeah, awesome. And even more stunning, not only is it that microwave sales are down, but so are microwave dinners. They've taken a massive shift as well.
Oh, that's bad, because I actually have a lot of microwave dinners when we get busy.
Well, it's not – I mean, I think obviously – okay, I'll say this. They're still selling a ton of microwaves. They're still selling a ton of microwave dinners. It's not like people have stopped completely.
But I guess it is still a $2.5 billion industry.
Yes, but what's happened is there's been a dramatic shift in consumer choices here, and the only thing that anybody can guess that's like actual is that it has to do with everybody starting to use toaster ovens now to heat their food, and basically people are choosing a little bit slower but better quality, better tasting food because it's not
totally.
Meat. I think this has to do with the tech industry just because it was like super high tech in the 1945 and we're like devolving in the Kuiper. What's interesting.
I guess at a time it was high tech, huh?
Oh yeah. At a time it was like revolutionarily high tech. It was unbelievable. But what I think is really fascinating about this is like, you know, we always talk about how far can something go? How far can social media go? How far can cell phones go? How far can this go? How long is the computer going to be around? How long are these different technologies? And the answer is like, they'll be around for a while, but it's weird. All of a sudden, you know, like you don't necessarily need Facebook to be replaced in order for Facebook to become irrelevant. I think this is a clear example of a couple of things have been going on. Microwaves are good enough. There's not major improvements being done in the microwave all the time.
Right. It's a commodity.
They last a long time, so you don't need to replace them all the time. You only need to replace them when they break down, and then not always. And basically people are deciding that they're going to use it as a less major role in their cooking habits. And they're replacing it with other methods.
Which means they're going to last even longer. Interesting.
Exactly. And so, hurts sales even more. Which is just fascinating. And I'm sure nobody's going to study this deeply except probably Raytheon going, what's happening to our sales? But they'll probably not publish many papers on it.
And so this is all America. It'd be interesting to see what the worldwide sales are.
True. I agree. But
it's like China and India, their microwave sales just like through the roof or something.
Yeah. Mm. But
fascinating.
Yeah.
Of course, that requires a little bit of energy. And I would say, at least right now, India is not exactly the most...
certain swaths of China and India are...
So I'm working with this guy in India right now. We're doing some stuff. And I was on the phone with him this morning rather early because his clock is different, as you would expect on the other side of the world. And we were halfway through the meeting. He goes, oh, I lost my internet. Sorry. And I was like, oh, all right, I guess I'll call you Monday. We're done. It was just that. Yeah, that has happened to me on more than one occasion. We're like, oh, well, we still had a half hour to go, but not the internet. We're done.
Yeah.
So
I've heard all of the horror stories from my boss and coworkers when they're abroad. It's when something goes wrong and they can't get a connection to the internet. And it's always in China. And so, yeah, I understand what you're saying here. You know, microwaves require a certain level of infrastructure.
But they do. I used to regularly blow the circuits when I had my heater on when ran the microwave.
And what's really interesting...
No. Actually, that wasn't what it was. It was my very first apartment, one bedroom. It was if I had the projector on.
Yeah.
and ran the microwave at the same time, I'd totally blow the fuse.
You couldn't just put your food in front of the projector and let all the massive amount of heat that it generated
cook
your food? You would think. That thing got really
My apartment cool. used to get so hot.
I know.
When you're running that thing, oh man, just a little heater. And you didn't want to turn a fan on because that's extra noise.
Exactly.
Oh yeah. Classic. Oh man. That's interesting about the microwave though. And I think it, you know, it shows a great example of a technology that is solid and strong. And here comes another one that has been evolving, that is still evolving, and all of a sudden hit this tipping point where people went, you know what? These toaster ovens are pretty good. I know for me, I wasn't thinking about a toaster oven at all until I saw our sister's. And I looked at it and went, oh my gosh, that's a mobile oven. That's amazing. And she's like, oh yeah, I can cook a pizza in this. And I went, okay, I need to go do some research.
Yeah, and what's going to be great is that, you know, they're going to get smarter, too. That's the most stunning part, is we're going to get, you know, you're going to get little, like, you know, little monitors and probes and stuff that really, you know, that they'll get, like I said, they'll get smarter. And, you know, so will microwaves, I guess, but, you know.
Yeah, but it's just interesting. It's like, you know, if... In the toaster oven space, there's still some innovations going on there. Or maybe they just figured out how to make them bigger without using as much energy.
Right.
You know, because that was probably the big thing that, you know, that kept them small. Was like, if we make them any bigger, we'll blow the circuits no matter what. And,
going back to me thinking I'm not necessarily special, I'm just ahead of the curve. You know, I started eating, you know, especially at my fattest back in like 2008, I would eat a ton of microwave, you know, like microwave, like instant dinner type things, especially instant pizza. But my big thing was that, like, at home, I'd throw it in the oven, or at work, I'd throw it in a toaster oven. I never microwaved it. And I TV, I didn't do TV dinners per se, but I would do like a lot of Hot Pockets and like mini corn dogs and what else did I do? Super delicious. They had a little what are those little pizza bite things? Bagel bites. Bagel bites. But I would oven cook all those toaster.
You would microwave them.
I wouldn't microwave any of it. And I was part of that group that was doing that, like moving away from the, I don't microwave my Chef Boyardee's, dude. I cook that stuff on the knob, as the Brits call it, or the, as Americans call it. But, I've been that way for a long time. I don't like nuking stuff, except my popcorn. That's what I like to do. Actually, that was the other really interesting thing, was that the first microwave ovens, what really convinced people was popcorn. Microwavable popcorn. Super exciting.
Well, they were saying here, I skimmed it real quick because we were looking for the date. And it was Percy Spencer, just a fun story, at Raytheon. And he said he noticed something peculiar while experimenting with the technology. The high-powered radar turned a chocolate bar in his pocket into goo. And then he deliberately experimented with, you guessed it, popcorn. And it worked. Then they said next he tried an egg, which promptly exploded onto a nearby coworker, as the story goes. Classic.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just funny. Interesting. Microwaves.
Yeah.
Pretty soon they'll be displaced by the food hydrator.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hydration level 3.
And then finally it'll be the replicators.
Oh, please.
I know, right? Hot and ready. That's what I want, man.
That's it.
Yeah. Am I asking too much? I don't think so.
I don't feel like it. Let's just say I'm craving that. Very cool, man. Hey, it's Friday, so go enjoy your weekend. If you're listening to this, it's not the weekend anymore because it'll post on Monday like regular. That's the way we roll. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We fully, truly do appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun. My name is James Furlow, and my brother is Matthew Furlow, and we will talk next time.